from the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 12th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week. And on the show today,
we're covering a new wilderness lodge on Brom Ridge and taxes. The Muni has set property tax rates. First off, we're going to go straight to the Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. Keely was working on this story. Yeah. What have you found with respect to this development?
Well, as most people in Squamish know, there are two proposals for Brom Ridge right now. One is Garibaldi at Squamish, mm-hmm. also known as GAS, and the second one is this Wilderness Lodge. So there have been talks about developing on Brom Ridge for decades. What's new, though, is that this Wilderness Lodge would be a new building. This man, Don Worthington, has previously proposed building a similar kind of lodge within a building that already exists on Brom Ridge. But since we covered this story, and you can read it in the newspaper, mm-hmm. the behind-the-scenes portion of this is, since it was published online, we've been getting comments from backcountry BC in particular, talking about the mountain goat winter habitat range, also known as the ungulate winter range, and how that may or may not overlap with these two projects, with both GAS and with this Wilderness Lodge that's been proposed. So we're currently working on a follow-up story. I interviewed one of the co-founders from Backcountry BC about what he thinks the winter range is for these mountain goats and their concerns about having some kind of recreation commercial enterprise up on Brom Ridge. And then I have also reached out to the province so that we can confirm where exactly that habitat range has been determined to be and how that may or may not be in the same area as these two proposals.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Keely. Next up is the very, very interesting topic of taxes.
Not everyone would agree with you that that's interesting, Stephen.
Yes. Well, they should be interested because this is one of those things that has a direct impact on people's lives. There's a lot of things in the news that don't necessarily apply to every single person in town. But tax rates is one of those things that comes very close to doing that. And I guess to expand a little bit more on this, reporting about taxes is always a challenge because there's nothing that will induce a sleep coma quicker than just throwing a whole bunch of numbers at people. You know, it's no secret that these things are very hard to read. Mm-hmm. They often don't become viral online, sadly, despite the huge amounts of effort and work that go into reporting them.
Yeah, and also how much impact that they have on people's lives.
Exactly. So what I'm doing here today is I'm going to tell you guys that a lot of very important and possibly, if you look at it the right way, interesting things are usually wrapped in wrapping paper of boredom.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's the best way I could put it, because ultimately this will be stuff that will be affecting your wallets directly. And even if you don't own property, it will still be affecting your wallet, because any taxes will increase the cost for homeowners mm-hmm. will likely be passed on to you, the user. Same goes with businesses. They'll have to raise their prices if they have to pay more mm-hmm. in order to stay afloat. So basically, in a nutshell, yes, it's boring, but I would encourage everyone to have a good look at that, because ultimately it's one of those things that will unavoidably affect your day-to-day mm-hmm. life.
I always kind of think of it like a chore. Nobody really likes doing chores. There are some chores that are easier than others, but you still have to do them if you want to maintain a nice lifestyle and a nice household. It's nice to stay informed about how these things will affect you.
Absolutely. And when you look at all the news stories, this would be the broccoli.
Brussels sprouts, I think.
The second point I want to make is there's a little bit of the way that numbers work is that sometimes they're not always immediately as they seem. So a lot of people, it's a very frequent complaint that I hear, that why is the Muni always raising taxes? Mm-hmm. At the same time, at least for businesses, tax rates have been going down. Mm-hmm. So it creates kind of a little bit of a weird juxtaposition. Okay, if rates are going down, why am I paying more? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to, I didn't get enough space to be able to explain this on the article, but I do on this podcast, so that's why we have it. So basically, there are two main reasons. There are also a lot of other things, but two very easy ones to understand is this. BC assessment valuations have been going up pretty steadily. And that means, one, if your assessment goes up a significant amount, even if you're getting charged a lower rate, you will still end up, in some cases, paying more because mm-hmm. the value of your property has gone up so significantly. Mm-hmm. Now, the next question that a lot of people have been asking, like, if that's the case, and the muni really does want to lower rates, why not actually just lower rates to the point where we don't have to pay anything extra? And this is the case where it's not entirely, as some people might think, BC Assessment's fault, because the muni still does have to pay for a lot of new spending that it's doing. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's spending $1.75 million more than it did last year. Mm-hmm. So while they can lower rates, they're not in a position yet to quite lower rates to the point where you're not paying anything extra, because at the end of the day, they still have to pay for all the new projects, the new services, new staff positions that mm-hmm. they've got up. So part of it is BC Assessment, but it's not entirely BC Assessment's fault that you're still paying extra. The muni still does have to make some money to pay for these extra services and things. So long story short, that's, I think, pretty much everything you need to know aside from what's in the article about property taxes. Now I think we're going to go over to our editor's pick, where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's going to tell us what the most pressing or important thing in her mind is this week. So, Jen, what's going on?
I think the visit that you and I did to Counselor Race's place to check for if his house was fire smart, I think that was pretty interesting out of the week. What was the biggest surprise for you?
Oh, man. Well, I would have to say that upon first glance, his house is pretty tidy. It's well kept. It looks very normal. There's nothing that seems out of place or anything like that. But to our surprise, it scored at least in the extreme fire hazard rating. And yeah. Walking down the street, I would have never known that something like that could be considered extreme.
Right. It's. I was saying to the firefighters who gave us the tour and did the assessment of his home that it was like every home almost that I grew up in. Right. Cedar on the outside and juniper plants. That was a big surprise to me that juniper was so combustible.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things we didn't get into in the story that we learned on that tour was just that there are some plants that you should avoid. There's a long list of plants that you can use, which is in the Fire Smart Guide to Landscaping that people can find.
Mm-hmm.
But so some other plants to avoid, I think it's called pampas grass. I didn't pay attention when my parents taught me landscaping. they tried, they really did. But and broom, holly. Holly's a surprise to me.
Oh,
that's very combustible. I know, so pretty. And juniper, things we see around Squamish all the time. And then fountain grass and pine, yew. Cedar, of course, that we mentioned before. So those are all no-nos for fire smart. And one of the things that they drilled home to us on our tour, I think, is that it's not if, it's probably when for any community that lives on a forest, backs onto a forest, which we definitely do.
Especially given our very early wildfire season this year.
Yeah, it's unprecedented, and thank you, climate change. So now these are things we have to think about. And then some other things that came up was, do you have adequate insurance? Of course, some people let that slide, so you got to make sure. And then are propane tanks clear of vegetation and at least 10 meters from dwellings and other buildings?
Hmm.
That's a weird one, because we often put our barbecues and our propane near our
exactly.
homes, right? And is the area 10 meters from your home and other buildings free of trees, flammable vegetation, and other combustibles? I tried to do the assessment of my newer home. It was only built a year and a half ago. It's a townhouse complex. So a lot of the things, it scored really well. Okay. Some of the things I had no idea because, again, I don't know what the plants are. I need to look into that. But even our really new home backs on to sort of a brushy area where there's a lot of fallen trees from our December 20th windstorm. So that's something I'm going to look into in my own home, which is thanks to Doug Race, you know, letting us go to his home and show our readers what needs to be done. So something to think about.
Yeah, plenty to think
that's
about.
That's your happy tip for the week.
A very happy one.
don't burn your house.
Well, Jen, thanks for bringing us up to speed on that.
No problem.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by the Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com or subscribe to the newspaper and have the news delivered to your door every week.